verse of scripture out of the book of Matthew, the second chapter, verse 11. You can see it up on the screen tonight. Matthew 2 and 11, the word of the Lord says, "And when they were come into the house," the Bible speaking concerning the wise men and the shepherds, "when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and they worshiped him." Everybody say, worshiped him. "They fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." For a few moments tonight, I just want to remind you in this Christmas season that we serve a God that desires our worship. From the very beginning, from the moment he come into the earth to redeem man by his blood, he has desired the worship of the church. Amen. And we see this in this text tonight. God desires our worship. We need to worship the Lord with our entire life. How many know it ain't just about your Sundays? It ain't just about your Tuesdays. It ain't just about your finances or your health. It's your entire life. Amen. We must worship God with our entire life as a response to our faith in Christ. To a response, amen, to our response to the fact that he gave his life that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Christmas is a time of splendor. Christmas is a time of wonder. Christmas is a time that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And, you know, although we know that, Christ wasn't born on December 25th, and there's much speculation as to when that date actually is, but we know that's not the actual day that Jesus was born, but we focus on the narrative of his birth. We focus on the idea of his birth. We focus on the fact that he came, Brother Carl. He robed himself in flesh. He came and he gave himself a sacrificial lamb. He redeemed us by his precious blood. He gave us the plan of salvation. Amen. And Christmas is a time of splendor. It's a time of wonder. It's a time that we commemorate the fact that he came and gave his life for us. He was born. We're not only to remember his birth, we're to respond to his birth. How many know the Lord just doesn't want us to recognize him? He wants us to respond to him. He desires, he craves, he longs for our worship. Christmas time is a call to faith. Huh? Christmas time is a call to faith. Every year I try to practice the principle that before I ever give a single gift to any of my children, my grandchildren, or my wife, I make sure I give a gift to Christ. Because Christmas time reminds me that it is a time, it's a call to worship. It's a call to a response to the fact that he came and he gave his all to us. We're all here tonight, not just because there's candles lit in this room. Not just because Sunday and Monday you're going to open gifts with your family. Not just because it's a time that your grandchildren come over and there's sugar drops. Huh? And not just because there's a tree in your living room with lights on it. It's a call to worship. It's a time, it's a call to commemorate. Christmas is a call to faith. Come on. We're all here tonight because of a miracle that happened over 2,000 years ago. Huh? Come on. A virgin gave birth to a baby boy. A virgin, a woman, come on, Mary, who never knew Joseph, gave birth to a baby boy who came to give his life that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We're here tonight because a virgin gave birth to a baby boy. And listen, not only did God come to the earth as and be born as a baby, but listen, he grew into a man. He grew into a man. And he developed a church, and he trained and he taught disciples. And he gave a plan of salvation that we still teach in this church today. Huh? We are still the New Testament church. He didn't just come. Look, he came as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. He grew into a man, and not just any man, but a sacrificial lamb. A man who came to give his all. Your salvation is free, but it cost him everything. Come on, your salvation is free tonight, but it cost him everything. He left the splendor of heaven, and he gave his life that we might have life. And then he came, he was born as a baby, he grew into a man. And then he gave his life that we might have life, and he went away so that the Bible says the Comforter would come. Come on, the Comforter would come, and the Comforter would dwell in us that we could be in relationship with the Lord tonight. Church, listen, shepherds came from afar off. Wise men traveled from afar off. Why? Why would they do that? Why would they follow that star in the sky? Because worship is an outward and a physical expression of your inward submission to God. That's what worship is. Why do we worship God? Because our inward submission is reflecting on our outward man. So we worship him. We give him praise. We give him glory. We give him the honor that is due him. He went away so the Comforter would come and dwell in us so we could live in relationship with him. Because worship is an outward expression of our faith. Church, listen, when we worship him, we are humbling ourselves before him. We are humbling. How many know we need to humble ourselves before God? How many know God will not exalt you if you never learn to humble yourself before him? He that humbleth himself before God, him God will exalt, the Bible says. Worship is an outward expression of our inward submission. And when we humble ourselves in worship, something tremendous happens in our life. We are humbling ourselves before him. So many times we refer to our songs that are in our set as our worship service. You couldn't tell it tonight, but I ran into a young lady at the store this week who visited the church a few weeks ago. And she walks up to me, and I told her, I said, "Sis, it's so good to have you in service the other day." And she said, "Man, I really like to start coming to your church more. I teach Sunday mornings at our church in a class." She said, "But I think I'm going to try to come to your main session." And then she looked at us and she said, "Your worship is lit." I said, "Man, that's the first time I've ever heard that before." So I'm telling you all, your worship is lit tonight. Amen. But worship is an outward expression of an inward submission to God. That's why we come. That's why we lift our hands. That's why we give him praise. That's why we sing songs in adoration of him. And we love him and we give him praise. That's why these wise men bowed down before him. Come on, Merriam-Webster says that worship is a reverence to a divine being. So many times we refer to our song set as our worship service. But listen, you don't have to have songs to worship him. You don't have to have a bunch of people around you saying you can do it to worship him. You can be all by yourself. You can be alone in your car. You can be standing in your shower and the Holy Ghost can move upon you and you can give an outward expression of an inward submission and give praise and glory unto God. That's what he longs for. That's why he created us. The Bible says the angels look into our praise and our worship because they long for that praise. From the very beginning, God has desired the worship of his creation. Merriam-Webster says worship is a reverence to a divine being. You don't have to have a song all the time. It's great to have corporate worship. It's great to have songs to sing to. It's great to be with the body of Christ. It's great to be with a bunch of people. But listen, that's not why the wise men didn't bow down, because there was a huge congregation sitting there. The wise men bowed down because they were in the presence of the king. The wise men bowed down because they had a reverence for God Almighty. The wise men bowed down because they knew he desired their worship. So they bowed down. They humbled themselves and they worshiped Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you worship him, how many know, when you praise him, you're thanking him for what he has done in your life. But when you worship him because of who he is. Huh? And when you bow down and you worship him, you are laying down your pride. Huh? That's why it's so important that we don't only just thank him for his glorious acts. We got to worship him because of who he is. When we worship him, we're laying down our pride. We're laying down our reputation. We're laying down our own agenda. We're laying down our own selfishness and our own agenda in reverence to him because of who he is. We are submitted to God, church. We are willing to give up things to honor God. Come on. We're willing to give up things to honor God. He wants us to give ourselves to him. Not out of duty alone. Not because we have to. Not because we're forced to. But because we want to. Come on, listen, when Jesus told the woman at the well, at Jacob's well, that Samaritan woman at the well, when he told her, when he said, go your way and sin no more, he wasn't commanding her not to sin. He was empowering her not to sin. She didn't go do it because she had to. She went and did it because she wanted to. I don't live this way because somebody makes me live this way. I live this way because I get to live this way. I live for God because I get to live for God, because I have an inward submission that flows over into an outward worship. We get to live for God. We don't have to live for God today. Nobody's making you live for God today. We get to live for God today. When the Lord told that Samaritan woman at the well, he said, go your way and sin no more. He wasn't commanding her to not to ever sin no more. He was empowering her not to sin anymore. Church, when we worship him, we're laying down ourselves. Less of us and more of him. How many know that's what we need in this Christmas season? How many know that's what we need in this new year that's about to come into our lives? A new beginning, less of us and more of him. Less of us and more. Turn to your neighbor and say, less of me and more of him. That's what we need in our lives tonight. Come on, you know, it's good to be in corporate praise. It's good to be in corporate worship. It's good to be in the midst of a bunch of people and feel the support of the body of Christ. But these wise men, they didn't have that. They walked into the presence of the king and immediately just fell down at his feet. And they presented unto him gifts and they began to worship him. No songs were sang. No piano was playing. Nobody was standing behind them with a hand on their shoulder. They just entered into the presence of the king and they fell down and they began to worship. When you worship God, you're laying down your selfishness. You're laying down your own agenda. When you're submitted to God, you're willing to give up things in honor of him. We worship him because we get to, not because we have to. When we think of those wise men, and we think of those shepherds bowing down at the feet of the Lord, they were laying down their possessions to him. Come on. They brought things that were very valuable. No doubt, Brother Joe, it cost them something. It cost them something. This wasn't just something they just had sitting on a shelf at home that they had extra of. No, this was frankincense and myrrh. These were expensive items. It cost them something. They were saying, living for God is going to cost me something. Living for God is going to cause me to lay some things down. When we bow down and worship to the King today, we're offering him all that we are, all that we were, all that we will ever be. Our life is in your hands. That's what we're saying to him when we worship him. Mary laid down her reputation. Joseph laid down his pride. The wise men and the shepherds laid down their possessions. Can I tell you today, the Lord doesn't want part of you. The Lord wants all of you. I'm going to say it again because somebody didn't hear what I said. The Lord doesn't want part of you. The Lord wants all of you. And you can't be a worshiper and not have an inward submission to God. He wants all of us. From the very beginning, God has desired the worship of his people. From the very moment he came into this earth, wise men, shepherds traveled from far off. They came, they followed the star in the sky. They walked into the presence of the king, and immediately they fell down and they began to worship God. Worship will change you in the presence of God. Worship will change your heart. Worship will change your mind. Worship will change the way you think and the way you look at things. How many have ever had to talk to yourself, man, you need to wake up and you need to realize how much good stuff is in your life. You need to stop finding the bad all the time and you need to start. How many, come on, just be honest with yourself tonight. That's what worship will do for you. Worship will cause you to not just long for what you don't have. Worship will cause you to appreciate what you do have. Worship, come on, happiness is not getting what you want. Happiness is learning to appreciate what you already have. That's what happiness is tonight. Worship will change you in the presence of the Almighty. That's what Christmas time is. Christmas time is a call to worship. We see that the wise men worshiped him. We see that the shepherds worshiped him. Let me tell you something. A mother would give her life if it meant her child could live. A soldier would give his life if it meant his country could be free. And our Savior gave his life that we might be free. He came. He suffered. He died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He didn't leave the splendor of heaven because he had to. He did it for you, and he did it for me. I want you to know something tonight. Christmas time is a call to worship. Christmas time is a call to us to return to thankfulness and appreciation for the goodness of God in our life. We must surrender everything to Christ. How many know he's a jealous God? He's a jealous God. He said, my glory I will not give to another. Come on, he said, I have no other gods before me. Let me tell you something. The Lord doesn't like it when you put other things in your life in front of him. He's a jealous God. And from the very beginning, he has desired the worship of his people. Sometimes our dreams don't match up with God's plans. How many know that? I look back over my life and I think about dreams and aspirations that I once had, and things that I aspired to be. And I look back and I say, my dreams did not match up with God's plans. But can I tell you, God's plans are much greater than your dreams. God's plan for you, come on, eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them that love him. God, your plans, your dreams, your aspirations, they might not line up with God's plan, but God's plan is always greater for your life. God's plan is always greater for your life. Church, when we worship God by giving our all to him, by surrendering our all to him, by giving ourselves to him, our lives to him, our agendas to him, our selfishness to him, everything that we were, everything that we are, everything that we will ever be, when we surrender ourselves to him, we will begin, our lives will begin to have true value. Come on, our lives will begin to have true value. Value because of his kingdom. Because his is the glory. Because his is the power. Because his is the honor forever and ever and ever. Christmas is about true worship. Let's get back to that worship. Let's get back to being thankful for the good things of God in our life. Let's get back to having a heart of gratitude. Let's realize we were once sinners, lost and without God. But today we are saved by grace today. Today we're saved by his mercy and by his grace today. Christmas time is about true worship. The wise men, the shepherds, they understood that the Lord from the very beginning craved the worship of his creation. Let's get back to that worship. That worship is what God wants from us. That worship is what God desires from us. To worship him, to love him, to adore him. And Sister Lainey comes tonight. If you'd stand with me, we're going to sing one last song. Let's return to the heart of worship. Let's let this Christmas and this holiday season that is upon us. Come on, don't you dare get those children and those grandchildren gathered in that room and let them open presents until you tell them what the reason for this season is. Don't you dare hand that first gift to that child until you have first given a gift to God. Because that's the season that we're in. It's a season of worship. God desires, the Lord craves the worship of his people. We were created. Come on, we were created. Everything else that God made, he spoke into existence. But you, my friend, you, my sister, you, my brother, God put his hands on you. The Bible says God formed man from the dust of the ground. Everything else was spoken into existence, but God created us. God put his hands on us, and he formed us, and we were created in his likeness and in his image. Why? Because he desired our worship. He desired our worship. If you never become a worshiper, you will never become what God created you to be. You are not created to be a painter. You are not created to be a carpenter. You are not created to be a welder. You were created to be a worshiper. That's what you were created to be. God desires the worship of his people.